Now, I told you, we're going to deviate just a little bit from our normal format, and we're going to do that from time to time. And I want to talk to you about this set of lessons that I'm going to put forth here. It's one more, in my mind, it's one more step, you know, to bringing the leadership of our church up to another level of being able to teach and preach the Word of God. I told you when we started this group that you would be the mainstay of what we do in the church. Obviously, there's others that, you know, are part of that too, that have been through the material many, many years ago. But all of you, you know, that are part of the people ministry, you know, you really are my go-to people, and I usually build, and there's exceptions to that, but I usually build everything that we do out of this group. We have, over the years, together in this people ministry, developed a real good understanding and working relationship. Your people skills, your ability with the Bible is, you know, pretty impressive. So I always want to keep adding on. Kind of like when you buy one of those iPhones, you know, which obviously are out of the pit of hell if you have one. You get one, you have it for 3 or 4 months, and then it quits working, and then you got to go call them and get an upgrade, and then it works for a little while, and then it don't work anymore. And it's the old flip phone. Just flip them open, and you can call whoever you want to call, you know. But you got to be sophisticated, and you got to be part of the new order of things. So everybody's got an iPhone, but you got to completely, you know, upgrade everything. And I say all that to say this. This is what we do in our church. I am constantly plugging you in and upgrading you with a better version of software as far as the Bible is concerned. I have in mind for all of you who want to preach and teach the Bible to get everybody up to that level that wants to. And I know even in this group here, you know, we've got older ones, we've got ones that are new that have come in this year, and many of you came in today for specifically getting the lessons that we're going to go through. And so look at this as a plug-in upgrade of your software to give you a better working deal. I think it's very obvious. We see it all the time, but I think that, you know, if you were here the Thursday night I was in New York, you know, Lauren's ability to teach the Bible, it's one of the reasons why I was so, him and his wife were incredible when it comes to, and we've been together for 30 years, you know, and, you know, it's one of the premier things that, you know, I jumped the chance for when they wanted to move down here, and you got to see the quality of him. And, you know, and others who do it on Thursday nights. But, you know, that's what my goal. My goal is to, you know, my main function is to Sunday morning and Thursday night and working one-on-one, helping you, doing things like this. My main goal is to get you guys up and ready that, you know, you can do all of the preaching and the teaching that you want. And, you know, and then, of course, Sunday with Bob Gregg, you know, Bob always does a good job, as does all the other guys. We probably got, you know, 20 or 30 men who could really handle Sunday morning. And honestly, I've got probably 4 or 5 guys on the Thursday night that could stand up and take questions out of the Bible, just like I do. It's one of those things where this is my goal. I told you Thursday night how that we are... you know, years ago we had our circuit riding ministry, and I was developing guys by sending them all around Kansas and Missouri to pastor for churches that didn't have a pastor, little churches, and they would go down there. We called it a circuit riding. They would rotate in and out, go through there. Every Sunday I probably had 30 guys out, you know, going somewhere. And, you know, I've always looked at that as probably one of the greatest things that we ever did that really helped build that. But it was limited. I mean, it was good to be in a church pastoring, but it was limited to the degree that there was really nothing for the women to do other than to go. And most honestly, it was just the guys that went. Now we've seen in our church develop over the last couple of years the overwhelming way of God is using all of you to teach and preach the Word of God to so many different people. And God just continually keeps opening up the doors. And you know, it all started with the, really started with the Wichita crowd. And they were, you know, have known them for years and years, and no church down there. And so we started sending people down there. And, you know, their kids, basically, this is the way it always works. Their kids, when they grow up, they get out of school. With the parents camp, the kids always move up here and jump in because they're so flexible, they can. So we got, you know, all of their kids up here just about. And then the Lincoln crowd started after that. And you guys started going up and ministering the Word of God to them. Obviously, when those kids get out of school, most of them are planning to move down here too, you know, be part of this. And we already got Claire and, you know, and some of the others are coming down on a regular basis. A bunch of them went up to New York with me last week. And it's just, it all happened because, and then we've got a team up there this morning that went up last night. Josh Gibbs and his crowd are up there teaching the Bible up there as we speak. So it's always the opportunity. And then, as I told you last night, we have the, or Thursday night, we have the couple from Clinton. That just, you know, that came about because Bob's preaching on Sunday. Guy got saved Monday night, and they came in to see me and said, hey, look, you know, we're going to drive up there. This is our church. You're our pastor. We're going to drive up from Clinton every Sunday we can, and we're going to be here. But there's a lot of people down there that at this point we can't get come up. What can we do? Well, obviously, I told them, I said, here's what we can do. And they were flabbergasted we would do that. So there's another opportunity for anybody who wants to preach and teach the Bible. And each group is unique, and each group has its own particular need, which is even better yet because it allows for the diversity of what we want to do. And then, of course, we've got the few. And I want to say, I really appreciate, I guess, John went, and Bill Tillman went, and you went, and Charles went down there to help Brian with the few at that fundraiser down there. And I want to tell you, that's what I'm talking about. It's a thing where it really, really, really means so much to Brian. And Brian's not saved, you know. Brian he loves this church. He loves what it's all about. And he loves the people in it. And for you guys to take your Friday night as a labor of love and go down there, and I was just looking for one guy. And I'll tell you, I'm sure it blew him away. And it's just one more bringing him closer to getting saved and being part of everything that we do here. And I love Brian. Boy, I think about him and pray for him every day. So we want to continue to work on those things. This coming Wednesday night, for those of you who work with me on the aspect of working with the people in the counseling side of it, I will have the team set up. And you'll know what team you're on. We'll take that to the next level. We'll get that ready to go. Very frankly, most of those people are people out of this group here today. And we'll get that all going and out. But, what I want to do is build up the men and women who are equipped to teach the Bible. And I want to keep adding to that. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will help you grow faster, make you more stronger, and give you more confidence in what you do for the Lord than at some point getting in and teaching and preaching the Word of God. It forces you into a structure of discipline. It forces you into a structure of accountability. And nothing that we do or anybody does will help you better than that. And of course here, it's a combination of about 15 different things that all go to the same end. And, you know, these lessons on marriage today that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to use them as the standard for our premarital counseling. And it's going to become the lessons. We're going to get it into a book as soon as we get it done. And Danny's going to put them into workable lessons that you can use, like we have the discipleship lessons. But I want you to understand, I developed these simply because I want to have a set of lessons that lays out a Bible New Testament concept of marriage Now, we're going to use it in premarital. But honestly, when I try to put something together, I try to make it as versatile as we can, that you could go down to one of these churches or in one of the Bible studies, and you could teach this to them who are already married, and you'll see when we go through it, it will fit so many different scenarios. We fundamentally want to use it as a premarital. And as I said the other night, if you already have your lessons on premarital and you've been doing it, and you're happy with it, they get the job done, hey, I'm good with that. I'm not out to stop anybody from doing what the way they want to do it. I think the creativity and originality is the key. But it'll give you a basis to work from, and you can vary it from there. And that's really the key. Those of you that went to New York, I don't know if you even picked up on it or not, but it was a great lesson in one aspect. The three messages that I preached up there were three messages that you have heard in one form or the other, probably several times over if you've been here around. But you'll notice that I have the flexibility to take three messages that I preach to you one way, take the same material, but then redirect it around their 40th anniversary up there, mixing and matching it and putting it together, that something that I would go preach at another church, another complete way, it's versatile enough that you can take it and put it in a scenario that you can use it in that scenario or another situation. That's where you want to get to. You want to be able to take whatever material and be able to be sensitive enough to fit it into where it's at. Most preachers that went up and preached that, they would have never had the sensitivity of building what they're preaching into where they're at. They just preach straight sermons. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if you want the full impact of your ability to preach and teach the Bible, then it comes down to your ability to be versatile enough and flexible enough to take material that you may teach one way here, but then you redesign it in here. Same material, but you're smart enough to know that the angle has to be different because of what you want to accomplish. This is true of everything you'll ever do with the Bible in teaching and preaching. And you want to remember that. It's one of the greatest single keys that you're ever going to get about the Bible. Your ability to be flexible with what you have to teach by your ability to adjust to it and any situation. And, you know, we're going to talk about these lessons today. We'll probably go through one lesson at a time, we'll put it all together. But I want you to see how that these will fit in any scenario. We're going to basically use them for premarital counseling. You know, we did our book back there and lessons on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which is the biblical concept of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That's some really good stuff, but there's a lot of weighty stuff in there that that a person would have to really study through to get it. And there's times that you do that, and you need that. But we need something that defines marriage on a very simple, basic concept that somebody, and don't take this in the wrong way, doesn't have to sit down and study it out. They can just listen to it and learn from it because it's so basic and so simple. It meets them on the level where they're at. That's what we want to have. And your ability, and I can put the lesson together, but you have the ability, many of you, to adjust them and adapt them to every scenario. And so that's what we're going to do. So let's talk about it today and let's begin to, and I'm going to teach this to you just like you were in premarital, so you get a feel of how I'm going to do it, and kind of give you a model, and you get the tapes back there so you can follow through with it. I suggest you do that. Daniel, get the lessons up. Don't wait till I get them all done. Do them one at a time so they can have them. And John, you can even get the first chapter of the book done, but that's what we'll do. But, you know, if I was doing somebody and laying this out, this is basically the format that I would follow, and this is how I would approach it. And the first thing I would talk about is what we're going to do here. We're going to talk about building a biblical marriage. You know, you're about to enter into the concept of marriage. And these lessons are going to ensure that you get the most out of your marriage. And to do that, it takes an understanding of marriage. And, you know, marriage looks complicated because when you view it in most cases, if you look at it through the kaleidoscope of many, many problems. But marriage in its basic fundamental form is pretty simple. There's three parts to a marriage. And we know that in the Bible, the number three is the number of completion. Nothing is complete in the Bible till you have the third part. And your marriage will never be complete until you understand that there are three fundamental aspects to marriage that you have to understand. And these three are the key to marriage, and we're going to go through them. And the first one is there's a physical aspect of marriage. The second one is that there's a spiritual aspect to marriage. And the third one is that there is an emotional aspect of marriage. Now, you cannot have a complete, successful marriage with any one of those missing. They all have to be there. Fundamentally, when a marriage has problems, and you're going to see this as we come through the lessons, fundamentally, when a marriage has problems, it's going to be because these three areas are not working the way they were designed to work. And what I have done in this study is to break down marriage into seven vital components. Seven vital components that are based on these three: physical, spiritual, and emotional. And what my goal is, we're going to look at each one of these, and from this we will form the basis for a good, solid marriage. You know, most people don't understand that marriage is a work in progress. It's a lot like your Christian life. There's never a time in your Christian life that you can say, I'm where I am, and I don't have to go and do anything anymore or work any harder or be any better than I am. That's just simply not true. A lot of people do that. But that's simply not true. Now, you're going to miss the best part by leaving. I just want you to know that. You don't have to put that in the book. If you knew, it was Nikki Brown. But marriage is a work in progress. Marriage is a work in progress, much like your Christian relationship is. There's never a time in your marriage that you can say, I've arrived. You may get it really, really, really good. It may get to a point where it's really fine and you're doing well, but there's never a time that there isn't going to be something you'll have to continually watch out for, continually work on. And marriage is something that you build on throughout the years. And that's vital that you understand that. Most couples today, very frankly, they get married and that's where it ends. And that's why so many marriages, after 3 or 4 years, they fall apart. They don't understand this basic concept. They get married, they now live together, do all the things in marriage that couples do, but there's no forethought of taking it any farther on a daily basis and continuing to develop it and seeing it as a work in progress. And this is where they fail. And this is what happened. It's so simple. It's so basic. There's nothing complicated about it at all when you just break it down and when you see it. And the goal of our time together is simply to biblically define the key aspects of marriage so that you can have a successful one. And there's some things, and I'll point them out as we go through, there's some basic fundamental things that you want to always remember and keep in front of you. And when you do that and you work on them, and you realize that your marriage is something that you're going to have to really continually go to work on, both of you, then you're going to see how it really is. Now, let me start by just giving you the seven fundamentals that we're going to talk about here in marriage. And first of all, we're going to talk about today understanding marriage. Then if we don't get through it today, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the second concept will be understanding of the Bible's role in marriage. And then the third one, and we'll probably be able to do a couple of these once we get past today. The third one will be understanding the role of the husband in marriage. The fourth one will be understanding the role of the wife in marriage. The fifth one will be understanding the purpose of marriage. The sixth one will be understanding the goals that are in any marriage. And the seventh one will be understanding the enemy that lies within your marriage. These seven aspects will give us a complete understanding and overview of the New Testament Christian concept of marriage. The key word here, and all we're going to do, will be the word understanding. You know, we've talked about the three words in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge would be simply recognizing that it's wrong to live together, so you get married. Wisdom will be the ability to work through your issues and stay married and never get a divorce. But understanding will be how God views your marriage and how you view it to make it work, not only for you, but for the Lord. And that's what we want to get out of these seven concepts. Now let's look at lesson one. Let's talk about understanding a marriage. Now first of all, the thing you need to realize is that marriage is by God's design. It wasn't something that when cavemen moved out of caves and quit hitting women in the head with their clubs and dragging them off by their hair to be their wives, then they got sophisticated and somebody said, let's now institute marriage. Marriage has never been society's concept. It's always been by God's design, and it's God's concept. The first marriage is found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 with Adam and Eve. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, where that whole passage there is a reference on marriage and a picture of marriage being likened to Christ and the church. And if you go back and look and read in Ephesians 5, the references go right back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve is the first marriage. Adam and Eve is the first type of Christ and the church in the Bible. Adam is a type of Christ. She's a type of the church. So in Ephesians 5, you find both components. You find the first marriage, and it says, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You'll find that they become one, that the Bible says, and God called their name Adam because they're one. So you find that in the physical aspect of marriage over there in Ephesians 5. And then you find how it's a model of Christ and the church. Now that's going to be very important, understanding these two concepts as we move down through these. And I'll bring back to your remembrance as we get there. Genesis 23 says, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And you find the same concept of Christ and the church over in Ephesians chapter 5. So we've got two models now. We have the model of Adam and Eve as the first marriage, and then we have the model of Christ and the church, and the two are inseparable. And to understand the first one, you have to understand and put into play the second one. We'll talk about that as we come on down through here. Now, understanding marriage and having a good working marriage is simply based on, perfecting the fundamentals of marriage. Fundamentals are the key in everything in life. And, in sports, what makes a good athlete, what fundamentally makes the Royals win the World Series, was simply that they executed the basics of baseball almost flawlessly. That's the key. And it's the key in your job. The key to being really good at what you do is just being really good and staying sharp on the fundamentals of your job. You know, it's how you study the Bible. I've told you all the time, when I wrote my book back here, How to Study the Bible, that's simply a book. That's simply a book that focuses on the fundamental skills of learning the Bible. You master the fundamentals and you'll pretty much learn your Bible. You master the fundamentals of your marriage and you're going to have a good, solid marriage. No marriage is going to be problem-free, just like no relationship with Christ is problem-free. And, you know, but you can get to the point in both cases where by the same way that you really, it really works for you. Now let's talk about six basic fundamentals of understanding a marriage within lesson one here. Now the first one will be our individual relationship with Christ. A marriage, a husband and wife together, will only be as strong in their marriage as their individual relationship is with Christ. Your individual relationship with Christ is the foundation that your marriage will be built on. You have to understand that. All other aspects and character qualities, concepts, will be built on this single foundation. And this brings up a tremendous aspect of marriage. And we're going to talk about this in several different phases throughout our lessons here. This brings up the tremendous aspect of the importance of two people wanting to get married being equally balanced and equally grounded in the Word of God. Because when you start to get into marriage, if your marriage at the get-go is out of balance, if a woman is dialed in and the man is not, if the man is dialed in and the woman is not, I guarantee you, you're going to have some problems. Because marriage in its workable format is based on both people having a foundation in the Word of God that is comparable to each other. You take somebody who is in the Word of God for 4 or 5 years, really gets stabilized, and then they meet somebody who's not, and they don't recognize this principle, and they go ahead and get married, they're going to have some problems. They may survive. In some cases, one or the other may come up to that level. Doesn't happen very often. They may survive, but they're going to have some issues. You know why? Their value system is not going to be the same. You know why? Because their foundation isn't the same. It's just that simple. And I hope they don't mind me saying this, but I have two guinea pigs that I'm doing these lessons on right now, doing it, and that's Justin and Angela. And they're my guinea pigs. They're the first ones I've ever done this with. And they've been so easy to do. I find myself slipping and sliding, moving through it, because it's been a long time since I had any couple that was as evenly balanced as they are when it comes to the Bible. They have got a good, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, they got a good, I'm going to tell you their sins, I have them listed over here. they are as evenly balanced as anybody I've ever seen. And I'm not saying they don't have issues like everybody else, and they will, but their foundation is solid. They both love God, they both love the Word of God, and they are equally balanced in that concept. And therefore, they have a really good shot at, you know, being able to work through scenarios when they came up, because I cannot stress enough the importance that whoever you're about to marry, whether I'm speaking to the man or the woman, the importance of being in proximity together, of it being a balanced and a good foundation. That will be the fundamental key from which you're going to be able to either solve all the problems that come in or not solve them. And you'll see that as we go through. The second basic fundamental is honesty and truth. And that is simply being able to speak the truth in love. You know, best friends can talk about anything. And in the ministry, the thing that I love about, you know, our church and the people who work with me that we can sit down and talk about anything. There are some people that you always kind of cross your fingers when you got to talk to them about something because you don't know how they're going to react, but in most cases, that's not the case, especially with people that are here. You can sit down, and because you can talk about anything, and that reason is because we have the same fundamental goals. And when your goals are the same in marriage, you can talk about whatever you need to talk about. You can be open and honest. You can be completely transparent in the relationship. This builds the quality of a marriage, and it makes it, for both a husband and wife, one of the most valuable assets that both a husband and his wife can have. And they both recognize that. It builds the security that both need to have for a long-term relationship. And you see it in Christianity. You know, it's what makes Christians valuable in the ministry for a long-term relationship in a church. Because the fundamentals, the balance is good, the honesty and truth of being preached is good, you can talk about everything and then work things out. This is the fundamental key, one of the fundamental keys of marriage. And this sets up the principle for the third one, and that is the word trust. Number three will be established automatically when number one and number two are in place and working properly. Trust is probably the second issue of vital in a marriage. We'll talk about the first one here in a little bit. But I see it all the time, spouses who don't totally trust each other. And that is, you know, when there's no biblical principles involved in the marriage, when there's nothing to fall back on, when there's no foundation that is built on, then the woman's nature, as the man's nature, is to naturally take things personal, see things from a different perspective than maybe they should, and then, you know, you have problems from there in their trust department. And of course, this will go back to a foundational problem. These are all connected together, and they all start with the perfect balance of being balanced and laying that foundation in your life of marriage on and the balance that you put on it. Many times the trust issue will go back to an honesty and a truth issue, something from the past, and people will struggle with that. Again, they struggle with that because they're not operating under the principle that tells you how to deal with that. I've had couples that I've dealt with that had problems before they got saved. And after they get saved, both of them pretty much get it on track and they really, really, really move along with it. And yet they struggle, sometimes the wife, sometimes the husband. They struggle with something that happened before they got saved. And that's purely a not understanding of where you were and where you're at. And it's so simple. And I tell them, I said, you know what? Here's why you got to let this go. If you don't, what you're struggling with that happened 20 years ago before you even married is going to destroy what you have now if you don't get the concept I'm about to tell you. And it's so simple. Back there, you were both unshaved and you lived like the world, so you did things that were of the world. Today, you're both saved. You both want to do what's right. You both want to grow in the Word of God. Don't judge each other for where you're at today based on where you were 20 years ago. You've got to come to the point that you realize that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, all things become new. And many times that becomes an issue from the past. You know, a good example is a Christian who continually has a problem trusting God in his own relationship. And you see it from time to time. Bless their hearts, I've seen people, you know, that struggle with their salvation. You know, did I do it right? You know, and honestly, a person who wants to get saved, I don't know if you can do it wrong. But they continually struggle with that over and over and over and over again. And you're going to find that, you know, when you struggle with a trust issue with the Lord, it's going to hinder you in getting out and really doing what God wants you to do. You may be able to go so far, but boy, when it really calls for you hanging out on the limb someplace, you're never going to be able to do that. And the reason why you're not going to be able to do that is because of the trust issue. And it's the same way in a marriage. If you don't have the element of trust, then the two of you will never accomplish anything meaningful in your life for the Lord. Because it's always going to be the same issue. And that's why it has to be in both cases. In both cases, it has to come back to the fundamental principle. I know I'm saved, not because how I feel or how I worry about it. I know I'm saved because the Bible says if I do this, this, and this, I'm saved. End of the story. My feelings tomorrow do not change what the verse said. Amen. It's what it is. My ability to either trust that or not trust that is something that you have to just get to the principles of the Word of God and drill those things in your head. And it's the same thing. Shit with marriage. Shaky marriages that start out of balance, start out wrong, start out with a lot of problems. They cannot, and this is another principle you want to get, they cannot handle a lot of extra weight. They just can't. You can't take a marriage with a very fragile foundation and then add to it another 1,000 pounds without having it cracking the foundation and breaking it and busting it. And this is what you find in marriage. You find people who get married, they have kids from other relationships, which is fine. It's fine, but it is what it is. They have all kinds of problems that they're bringing in. We call it baggage. They're out of balance. She wanted to get married, found a guy that was everything except maybe wasn't where she was at or he was at spiritually. They go ahead and marry anyhow. Now they've got all this extra weight. They sometimes have problems with the in-laws or the outlaws or all the other parts of the factions of the families. Sometimes there's an ex-wife. Sometimes the kids now have grown up and they're terrible and they have all kinds of problems. And you find that they struggle back and forth. And here's what you've got. You've got a marriage with a foundation that can only support 100 pounds because it's shaky. And now all these other problems are adding 6,000 pounds on a foundation that can only hold 100. And then you wonder why it doesn't work. It's just so simple. It will fail. Well, the fourth one will be communication. And without a doubt, this is the number one problem. This will be the source that leads to bigger issues in the marriage. Not being able to talk things out. Not being able to understand and get to the point where you really, really, really can work things out by just sitting down and talking. Without screaming. Without fighting. Without name calling. Without yelling or losing your temper. And yet, I've seen Christians where they, on a routine basis, who claim to be saved, and I believe they are, when they get into a fight, the husband will call his wife the filthiest names on the planet, or she will call him the filthiest names on the planet, and they revert right back to what they were before they were saved, even though they're saved. That's not communication. And it causes the number one problem that comes along with communication over a long, extended period of time. One or the other or both just gives up talking about it. They withdraw. They're not going to talk about it because they know there's no value in it. You got a dog that really loves you, and you got a dog that really thinks that you're great, and every time you come home from work, he or she comes up and just crawls up in your lap and licks your face off and just wants to be with you and sit with you. That's a good thing. If every time that dog comes up to try to lick you and jump in your lap, you slap it in the head, after about 4 or 5 times, it ain't going to come up anymore. You know why? Doesn't want to get slapped in the head. And you take a marriage where the two can't talk and work things out. You take a marriage where it's always volatile and always somebody screaming and saying something. After a while, you just want to shut down. You know why? the tire getting slapped in the head. That's the worst thing you can do, because now it goes internal. And when you're taking it internal over the years, it builds into resentment, it builds into anger, it builds into bitterness, and it's never going to come out good. And of course, this is a complete breakdown of your ability to talk through things, and you've bottled up for 20, 30 years. Now on this one, and I'm speaking to the husband just for a moment, even though we're not into the role of the husband yet, but on this one, the husband must lead the way. No question about it. You cannot expect the wife to lead the way on this. There are some things that she needed to lead the way on, like saying, I'm sorry. Well, I'm getting some looks at some ladies. I know that. There are some things that a woman can lead on, not this one. This one has to be led by the husband. A husband in communication, or I should say, the art of communication. He needs to understand three things, and this is vital, and you want to get these down. First of all, he needs to be smarter than the problem that he's dealing with. He needs to realize that he has to be the one that is the facilitator here. The breakdown in communication will be always on him. It's his responsibility. He needs to be smarter than the problem. He needs to see it as it is. Not from his emotional entanglement. He needs to see it from the biblical perspective that he is the one who needs to lead the way in communication. The second thing is, he needs to be bigger than the problem. In other words, he cannot let his pride get involved. He cannot let it get to the point where he simply won't do it because he's mad or he's upset or his feelings are hurt or he wants to retaliate in some way. He has to be smarter than the problem. He needs to be bigger than the problem. And the third one, he needs to be the spiritual leader in the problem. He needs to realize that any problem in that marriage is his to fix. That's his job. Now you can see the problem you get into when you marry somebody that's out of balance. This concept goes right out the window. One, the guy is not smarter than the problem because he really doesn't know the Bible. Two, he can't be bigger than the problem because he doesn't understand the principles involved. And three, he can never be the spiritual leader in the problem because he's not at a point in his life where he can. And of course, these three things fall on the husband. And there's no second way around this. There's nothing, in this particular case, there are some things the wife are responsible for. I get that. We'll talk about it when we get into the role of the woman. But fundamentally, the husband has to be the facilitator in communication. He has to be able to draw out of his wife the things that need to be talked about without getting angry. And that's the biggest roadblock on communication. The fear that it's going to lead into a fight, lead into this, lead into that. And after about 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10 years of that, guys, your wife just gets absolutely sick of it. He just withdraws and doesn't talk about it, and you don't have a clue. You know why? You don't have a good foundation. It's three simple problems that all men have, and you got to stay and work on. We talk about marriage being a work in progress. Here's one of the works in progress: being smarter than a problem, being bigger than a problem, and being the spiritual leader in the problem. Hands down, that's where you're at. Now the fifth one. The fifth one will be the aspect of forgiveness. The ability in any relationship to absolve the other party of any wrongdoing when they're truly sorry. And this is Romans 15:1. Neither the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And of course, the model for this will be you and Christ in your own personal relationship with him. Go right back to the foundation. In particular, how God forgives us, and on that basis, how we forgive each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, I just give you the key to help you when you have an issue, for both of you to work at resolving the issue. Because marriage, we're going to see a little bit later on, is a team concept to do something for God. And so he says here, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and then the concept is, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That verse says that there are times, because God is holy and God is righteous, that he sees things that we do, that on his own he would not forgive us. But what makes his forgiveness go toward us is because of what Christ did on Calvary's cross. So in spite of what God's holiness is and how God wants no unclean thing around him, he allows us to have a relationship with him for Christ's sake. And that's the bottom line in your marriage. Your marriage is of God, for God, and letting things come into your marriage that stops the work of God, of you two, is ridiculous, because it just shows that one or the other or both do not understand the final analysis of their marriage is for to be used of God. And so you don't let stupid stuff get out of control. No matter who's right, no matter who's wrong, you don't do it for your sake, you don't do it for her sake, you do it sometime for Christ's sake, that the ministry goes on. And that shows you understanding the problem in its entirety, that it's not just a personal thing here, there's a bigger picture of what's happening and what's going on. It's taking yourself out of it and putting Christ in it. We'll talk about that when we get a little farther into this. Now the sixth one, unconditional love for each other. Marriage should be in all aspects, with time getting deeper and better. The physical aspect of becoming one. You see it in second or third back generation older couples. You don't see many older couples today, because today they get divorced after the first 5 years, so there's not many old couples that are married anymore. But you go back two or three generations and you see them hobbling down the mall or walking down the street. They look alike. They think alike. They dress alike. They talk alike. They eat alike. And that's because after all the years of marriage, the two, and I'm talking about unsaved people in a physical sense, they become one just by the association. Add Christ to that on the foundation of everything we're talking about. You know, I used to have these game shows called the marriage game or the wedding game, I can't remember what it was, where you husband and wife would go in and they send the wife out, you ask the questions, and then they bring them back in. And you know, most young couples would never win it. You get a couple on there, been married 30, 40 years, they win that thing hand. That's why they never put them on. They lose all the money, because old folks who've been married for 30, 40 years, 50 years, they know the other person. Young couples still struggle with it sometimes. I mean, then you may get some of it right. You may find somebody who's really intuitive that gets it all right. But boy, you get a couple that married 40, 50 years, and threw some things together, put them up there and ask them this, well, I'll tell you what, they take it hand down. And it all goes back to when issues come in and you understand the concept of Christ's sake, it all goes back to you not looking at the person you're having the problem with. Because there's times that we can all do as a husband and a wife, unlovely things in the flesh. We say things that are wrong. We do things that we probably shouldn't. The thing that overrides that in a husband and wife relationship will be the husband or the wife having the ability to look past the physical, stupid stuff that's done, but always love the Christ that they see in that person. That's the key. When you can't love the person in that moment, love the Christ in that person, and that'll always take time and bring it back that you can, in time, work through any problem that you have. You know, it's the person inside that person that is 100% easy to love when it's Christ. because you already love Christ. And when you see Christ in that person, now that's how, whether you figure it out or not, that's how God and you can have a relationship in me. Because you and I are unholy. You and I are not right with God. And God views you and his relationship with you through Christ's death on the cross. That's how he has a relationship with you and me. He sees you through Christ. That's the only reason he can reach, go out and try to get unsaved people who are filthiness. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, God is holy. Hey, before the Jews, God would come down to the Old Testament camp of the Jews, they had to remove everything that was unclean because he's so holy. But in the New Testament, he's just as holy. But in the New Testament, when he looks at unsaved people and he looks at you and me, and the way you and I got saved was in Christ, through Christ. That's why in the book of Ephesians, you find that phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. When you're saved, you're in Christ. And when God has a relationship with you, when you and I don't do what's right, we're not always the way we should be, you know how he absolves us of that and deals with that? He sees the Christ in you. And that's what you do in a marriage. Just that simple. Well, that's the end of lesson one, and we've got time, so I'm going to teach you lesson two. But that's lesson one. Please start per se there.